For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Look, I got a lot of confidence in our rookie quarterback. I'm glad we got him.
Dart design run. Up the middle he goes. To the tank, to the front. Touchdown, Giants. Jackson Dart.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guest, ESPN SportsCenter host, Scott Van Pelt. Plus, your phone calls, latest injury news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Scott Van Pelt will join us in about 20 minutes' time before he mans the studio fort for ESPN and ABC tonight on not one but two Week 4 finale games. The Jets and the Dolphins first up at 7 Eastern time, and then an hour plus later on ABC, it'll be the Broncos hosting the Bengals in the finale of Week number 4. What a Week 4 Sunday it was. Quite something. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Hey, Rich. What's up, man?
Our Overreaction Monday pod is already out there on RSS feeds and our YouTube channel everywhere. Go so we it. Appreciate that. Good to see you, DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Rich.
TJ Jefferson, the candle's been lit for a couple hours. Oh, yeah. He's brandishing that kendo stick because he knows I'm going to go all in on the Mets later on before we leave today. So there's that. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Here on the program, let's go to Zach in Idaho. Back here on the program, Zach. What's going on, Zach? What's up, sir?
How's it going, Rich? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's going on up there, Zach, in Big Sky Country?
Oh, just a beautiful little bit of rain, you know, hanging out by the river.
Okay,
doing some work.
Is there a van near that the river? Okay, I'm just kidding. What's on your mind?
You know, I just wanted to waste that few 10 seconds. I know how much you love it.
Thank you, Zach.
No, excuse me, Zach. Zach. I don't mind pleasantries with Zach from Idaho. It's just, I think, you know, this is what this show's about, that I get to talk with somebody named Zach from Idaho, that person being you. I don't mind that back and forth, sir. It's just these morons in studio. And I say that lovingly.
Of course.
I mean, obviously. Like to give a good shout out to TJ. You're a boy, dog. You know. Hey, Mike.
Hey,
you better not put anything other than Raider gear on, otherwise I will have a problem with you then.
Whoa.
And Chris, you know.
I don't know. By the way, that's a new drop.
Go over there, sit in the corner.
By the way, that's that a new totally drop. New drop. Chris, you know, and then a pause.
Oh, long pause.
See, Zach, without the pleasantries, we wouldn't have gotten a new drop.
Hey, I just want to talk about my Raiders real quick.
Sure.
You know, everybody finally showed up. The run game showed up.
Jenton came, to play.
The line looked better.
Yes.
JPJ, I feel Saints should be on the center, but that's another story. Max Crosby obviously had his day, and the defensive backs, you know, are decent, I guess. But what's going on with Geno, man?
Great question.
I'll let you have the floor, and I'm going to jump off.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at that.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, knows when to say hi, knows when to leave. Knows when to apologize, even though he doesn't need to. Zach from Idaho, that was outstanding.
Yeah, call back.
I don't know what's going on with Gito. You know, they wrote him off, but he says he never wrote back.
Yep.
Right now, he's giving it back. That's the problem. He's now leads the NFL with 7 interceptions. 3 more again in Week 4. That's 2 of the 3 games last 3 weeks. in which he's had at least three interceptions. You know, two passing touchdowns to go with it. Ashton Jeanty
finally
got in the end zone with two of those receiving touchdowns. He ran one in also, but it's and he ran it in from the minus side of the field, meaning their side of the field. He just took it to the house, boom. Got through tackles. He's running people over. This is the guy we're looking for.
Yeah, it was good to see.
This is the guy we're looking for. This was the man from the Boise to Men we were talking about. Mm-hmm. He was a grown-ass man himself, and we were waiting for it. We're like, he needed to run this way. And the thing that I enjoyed seeing for him and for Raiders fans, he was on the field in third down. Raheem Mostert was the one coming in as well, and he was a nice.
Yeah.
Do you call him a change of pace? Because he slashes and hits people too.
He's also fast.
He's fast and he hits people too. So you got two guys who can run fast and hit you and run over people. That's what you want from the Raiders. You know, we haven't yet to see Brock Bowers really breaking out. Fewer than 50 receiving yards in three straight games. That didn't happen last year at all. But the interceptions are killers. They're just absolute killers. They're killers because they're drive killers, or in the case of the Raiders, here you are, start the second half. Let's go. First snap, he throws it right to the Bears, who couldn't do anything with it. And so Pete loves the guy, and for good reason. He trusts him, and he was asked if he was considering changing quarterbacks. And here was his answer.
After Geno's third interception, he now leads the NFL. Was there any consideration to going with Kenny at all?
No, we're not there.
I mean, that's what I told you during Overreaction Monday. We're not there.
Yeah, I brought this up as a potential situation.
Right, because Kenny Pickett's sitting back there. Don't forget, they acquired him right before the beginning of the season when Aiden O'Connell went down. And so there is, you know how I hate the word solid, right?
You truly do.
You know, solid, because I think you could use better adjectives than solid, excellent,
you're
outstanding.
You're a wordsmith, though.
I appreciate you saying that.
Come on, not everybody has
that. You know what the equivalent for a backup for solid is?
What's it?
Serviceable.
Oh, yeah.
When you're called a serviceable backup, that means, you know what? You're not a starter.
No.
Serviceable.
It's like you're a stopgap.
Stopgap is bridge. Another version bridge. Of serviceable.
Bridge.
Yeah, bridge. You know what?
Bridge,
you're not
quarterback.
You're not the quarterback. You're a bridge.
Yeah. Bridge over troubled water.
But we're not there because Pete's not there. I'll tell you what, another three interception game at Indianapolis where the fans there are plugged into what that team is doing. And it just gets louder and louder and louder in there. That's a tough place to go and win when you're turning it over. That ain't it. Three straight losses after that surprising win in New England to start the season is not it either. And in the same way, though, that I'm talking about New England being 2-2 and having a shot to make the playoffs, all you got to do is just tie yourself with New England. And you're in because you've got that tie break. But you can't keep throwing interceptions. And Ashton Jeanty, there it is. Rick Dalton GIF, right?
Boom. That's the guy.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
That's the guy.
When he ran one in. Yep. Okay. That was it. Right there. There's Ashton Jeanty. There's the guy that they went and drafted sixth overall. Third Raiders rookie in the Super Bowl era to have a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown at least in a single game. The others are named Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson. Hmm. Not bad. Max Crosby was everywhere. He's incredible.
Yeah, he was destructive.
So, you know, let's just again, 1-3 is not the way you wanted to go through the first quarter of the season, certainly when you started it with a win. But at Indianapolis, home for Tennessee, at Kansas City, then a bye off of which Jacksonville comes into your house. You split those, heaven forbid you go 3-1 and you're in good shape. So we're marathoning, we're not sprinting. As for the Bears.
The Bears.
Oh, gosh. Rome Odunze has scored at least one scrimmage touchdown in every game this year. Not too bad. I told you, Caleb Williams and he are connecting.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift got in the end zone for the first time, so maybe the running game is beginning to percolate. A 68-9-yard go-ahead touchdown drive in week four to go on top of Vegas, and then a blocked field goal to wrap it. Yet another team to block a field goal to preserve a win.
Second half, they got better than the first. How about that? It's not like it's just first 15 scripted. Yeah. And I understand it's tough for Bears fans to accept baby steps when it comes to Caleb Williams, because you drafted him first overall and he had a full season last year. But he was getting his ass beat again, and he keeps getting up off the turf. Didn't have Colston Loveland, and the Bears kept turning Geno Smith over. Genty also fumbled as well on a fourth down. And so Chicago's where Vegas wanted to be, which is 2-2 through four. And the Bears' next four games at Washington, Monday night. And yes, fellow friends in our Disney orbit, Jaden Daniels expected to be back for that one. So we will see Caleb at Jaden on Monday night. A big game between a 2-2 Bears team coming off of a bye. That's week six. So the next two Monday nighters, how about that? Kansas City at Jacksonville, and then this one. And then they're home for New Orleans before they visit Baltimore. Will Lamar be healthy enough and back for week eight? Bears at 2-2. Not too bad. Two in a row. And I don't know if Aditi Kinkabwala is going to be on Ben Johnson's Christmas card list or vice versa, but Ben got very short with her, and I did not appreciate watching that. I know how hardworking Aditi Kinkabwala is. Just go check out that exchange. I believe coming out at halftime. But anyway, the Chicago Bears, well done. They're 2-2. The Raiders, 1-3. Genty looking good. And Geno, stop giving it to the other team.
Yep.
Otherwise, that I'm not there turns into not there, dot, 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 yet. And then suddenly Pete's there. Because he has to be. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Josh in Wisconsin, let's take your call. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
What's going on?
Great victory Monday for the Bears, although it was very stressful. But, you know, sometimes you got to win ugly, and it's nice to see Caleb growing. And I completely agree that we, as Bears fans, need a little more patience with him. He got rocked last year with 68 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect a guy to succeed when he's constantly on his butt. I would 100% agree with you about the officiating in the Ohio State-Washington game.
That was absurd.
Absolutely garbage. But college football gets one thing right when they review targeting.
Oh.
Why can't we go a step further and review all personal fouls?
Josh, I got to push back here. I got to push back here. First of all, reviewing all personal fouls, I'm up for, but I'm not up for putting a flag on the field, which targeting does. And targeting is the scourge of college football. It is the worst. Thank you for the call, Josh, and I appreciate your calling into the show, even though I disagree with you on that front. Targeting is the worst officiated rule in any sport, anywhere, by anyone. There was a targeting review in Penn State, Oregon. Check it out. There's an Oregon receiver who's being tackled from behind, and somebody from Penn State comes right up in front, lowers the helmet, and connects helmet, crown, to face mask, which is, without a doubt, 100% what targeting is supposed to abolish. They look at it, say it's not targeting. So just call 15 yards and get rid of the targeting and the removal of ejecting people. Can we do this, please? Because you don't get it right, like ever. Ever. And it ruins everyone's faith in your ability to have eyes and sight. Because that's absurd. Oh, let's read into somebody's window into their soul. The kid didn't mean to do it. It was incidental.
Right.
You know what's incidental? Michigan's best defensive player, future top 10 pick, getting ejected for targeting after he sacks a quarterback, and we're reviewing it to see if the ball comes loose, to see if the ensuing return for a touchdown stands. And as a matter of fact, no, touchdown doesn't stand, which was correct in the call. But the kid's now ejected for targeting a quarterback. When his job is to sack a quarterback. It's the stupidest thing. It just ruins your faith in all. In all. Humanity. We can throw that in there. That's how bad targeting is being officiated.
Humanity. Umbrella.
Yeah, I included humanity.
I'm with you.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. We'll take a break. Scott Van Pelt's going to join us on the other side. My buddy from the worldwide leader in sports, the perennial Emmy nominee for his outstanding work. He deserves one, too. Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't have to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Introducing the new Dell PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It's not just an AI computer. It's a computer built for AI. That means it's built to help do your busy work for you. So you can fast forward through
editing images, designing presentations, generating code, debugging code, running lots of apps without lag, creating live transitions and captions, summarizing meeting notes, extending battery life, enhancing security, finding that file you were looking for, managing your schedule, meeting your deadlines, responding to your boss's long emails,
leaving all the time in the world for more you time and for the things you actually want to do. No offense to your boss. Get a new Dell PC at Dell.com/AI-PC. How those ahead stay ahead.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joining us right now, I think he's doing man-on-the-street interviews on behalf of ESPN. my buddy Scott Van Pelt joining us here. Are you on the you're on the streets of New York, Scott? Is that what's happening right now?
Man on the street. I've always kind of wanted to do this. I feel like I'm reporting live here. We're on Van Damme in the city. It's a lovely day.
Okay.
Moods are sky high with the Giants coming off a dub and the Jets playing tonight. Mets, not so much, but hey, you got the Yankees coming up.
Yankees Red Sox on the ESPN for three, starting on Tuesday, maybe for three straight days. Scott, let's go.
Well, ride the lightning.
Are you already, you're already dressed? Are you already, did you fly in your suit? Do you fly in your suit? Ooh. That would be next level.
Great, great question.
Thank you.
This is an oddity with me. All right, I don't want to get too inside the beltway, but you can relate to this. Like the days of doing the late night, overnight SportsCenter, Neil Everett and I, when we did it really late, I would just be dressed in like bummy clothes until it was time to do the show. Right. And then inevitably, like with 5 minutes before airtime, I'd be sprinting down the hallway with my tying my tie.
Yes.
And so as I've matured and became an adult, I now arrive suited and booted for work. We don't have to be on the air for hours, but I'm properly outfitted. This is what we got. There's the pocket square. The lovely Xenia tie.
Nice.
And this is it.
Okay, so later on tonight, when we watch you expertly man a studio for not one but two games, this is what we're going to see. This suit, the tie, jacket, the whole thing.
This is all I got.
Okay. I like it. Scott Van Pelt joining us from the streets of New York, getting ready to host Monday Night Countdown on ESPN. Let's just jump into it, Scott. New York also home to the Ryder Cup this past weekend. What's your opinion of the golf? Let's start with the golf first up, Scott, on that.
Europe was amazing. They're better at this than the United States, and they've demonstrated that for this entire century, if you will. There's a sincere fondness for one another. There is something about it matters to them in a way that it just, I don't think, does on the same level for the United States. And that's not a knock against the United States. It's a compliment to Europe. Their very best players play great. Rory's amazing. John Rahm, bull. And then they've got guys like Fleetwood, who until Justin Thomas took him down, like, feel unbeatable. And they knew what they were walking into, Rich. But, I mean, look, I've been to Bethpage. I've seen it. There's great things about it. But this weekend was ridiculous. It was ridiculous behavior. There's no call for that ever. And you could turn around and go, oh, they did that in Italy. No, they didn't. People followed Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry around for 5 hours. And it was personal, and it was ridiculous. Rory called it unacceptable. He's right. But then, maybe not surprisingly, because the Americans are incredible individually, here comes the Stars and Stripes on Sunday. And you heard Luke Donald say, like, those are some of the toughest hours of my life. They could feel it slipping away. And it very nearly did. If Henley's putt on 18 goes, I think it's very possible the American side would have pulled off the comeback, because then the pressure would have been so immense on the European side. I don't know if they could have stood up to it. Well, but they were a proper and deserving champion in the end. I love Bethpage. I love what it is. I love the passion of American sports fans. But there's a big difference between cheering your guys on and showing up to talk a bunch of crap to people that's personal and was over the top.
Yeah, and also throw projectiles and also heap abuse on loved ones. Like, not even the participants, not even the competitors, Scott. You know, not even.
That's totally beyond the pale. That's just, you can heckle people, you can root for your people, and there's some heckling, it happens. Like, but this weekend, you know, hopefully it's a bit of a point where people say, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
And then in terms of the golf as well, can you give a voice to what a captain can actually affect? You know, because one of my favorite sound bites came from Xander Schauffele as Keegan Bradley was being asked about whether he got out captained, and Schauffele interrupts his answer by saying, yeah, he should have told us to make more putts. You know what I mean? Like, and I found that refreshing from Schauffele, as well as supportive of his captain. But what can a captain do, Scott?
Well, if they could do it, then I guess all of the 9 of the 12 that lost it for America would have been able to do better jobs. I think there's setup. Course setup is part of it, and Keegan owned that. He said, you know, there's things we'd do differently, probably have the rough be taller. We didn't know it was going to rain. We didn't know the greens would be this soft. But ultimately, Europe made a mile of putts when they mattered. And the thing that I think people miss is, oh, the United States played like crap. Not really. Scotty and Bryson played together and were 9-under through 15 holes, I believe it was, and didn't get to play 16 because the other side was that much better. The Europeans put on an outrageous putting display. Outrageous. And so, you know, I think, and this gets a little in the weeds, but there's something called data golf, which does a great job of analyzing analytics. And they said this Morikawa English pairing was the 132nd out of 132. But that's measuring analytics, which doesn't measure what it feels like. And nothing feels like the Ryder Cup. Nothing. And so there are human beings that are involved here, and they felt like there was something with Morikawa in English, and it didn't translate. So you can blame Keegan, I guess. But ultimately, Xander's right. If they make more putts, then that's not the conversation we're having. So I think the captaincy, Luke Donald deserves a massive amount of credit for being as meticulous as he has been and creating an environment where the Europeans feel so invested in one another. All credit to him for that. I don't think you can blame Keegan for not having his guys make every single putt they looked at. But he owned the part that he could have done better, and I'm good on him for that. I'm just bummed because he's a great dude, and you invest a lot, and then you get boat raced for 2 days, and everyone thinks you've done a lousy job.
Do you think part of him sits here and thinks he should have let him? He should have named himself, Scott, like in a quiet moment, heart of hearts, or are we past that? What do you think?
That's the part that sucks the worst. He should have been on the team 2 years ago, or 2 years ago, and he was overlooked. I think he's the captain this time around because of that. And then he didn't want to choose himself because he didn't want to not pick someone that was deserving because he knows what that feels like. And so that's the real cruelty, if you want to say it that way, about Keegan's situation. He should have been on the team. They'd have been a better team if they had him.
A few minutes left here with Scott Van Pelt, man on the street, joining us from the streets of New York, already in his suit, getting ready to host two studio shows, pretty much, and one for tonight's week four finale here on the Rich Eisen Show. The best football team in the NFL through 4 weeks. Doesn't have to be a team that is 4-0. Could be a team that's 3-1. What do you think, Scott? Best team?
Buffalo Bills.
Why?
Because I think Josh Allen is reaching the point in the Matrix where it's all just slowing down. Maybe I'm guilty of just wanting something new, and Philly's a boring answer. All they do is win games. All they do is win games, Philly. I mean, I'm sure in Philadelphia, you'd be like, hey, yeah, you know, that's a really bad answer, nice. Van Pelt. Nice. Don't be an ass. And they'd be right. Yeah, all you guys do is win. But I just feel like Buffalo, I said this about Rory at the Masters. I think every man has a time. I just feel like this is Josh's time. That said, they were in a 4-point game with the Saints on Sunday. You know, I guess you just can't beat everybody you play by 30. And Miami hung with them as well. But Philly's done nothing to not be the right answer. But I'm saying Buffalo because of that guy right there that you're showing, 17.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the Monday night schedule coming up. Are you going to Jacksonville? Will you be there?
Yep, we will be.
Okay. That's going to be a heck of a night, man. I mean, the Chiefs back to 200, back to 500 at 2-2. Jacksonville at 3-1, kind of feeling it. You know, Liam Cohen's talking with his chest a little bit. That is going to be lit. And then
I wouldn't want to fight Robert Saleh, not for nothing. I think I wouldn't push come to shove. I'd pass on a tussle with him.
I would do that as well. You know, but I guess if you have no haters, you're not popping. Isn't that what he said back in the day when he was with the Jets? and then there's another two banger for Monday night in week six. I'm just noticing that as well. So is the next one that you're going to a Houston at Detroit? You're going to Detroit as well, Scott?
Do you know I think so. That might be an aggressive private aviation deal where we go to Detroit, but then fly back to try to do the show from D.C. from the night one. I don't know how we're going to sort that one out. But we got friends that know friends, so, you know.
We got friends who...
We'll see what the boys from Flyhouse can cook up if we can get from A to B in a hurry. But
okay,
I mean, look, it's just great fun. Whether it's a doubleheader with a couple of 0-3 teams and then a team that loses its quarterback, like there's nothing that moves the needle like the NFL, as you well know. You've made your living so capably and so beautifully so many years covering it. There's just nothing that captivates our interest and attention, even if it's, you know, a couple of games that aren't quite what we thought they might be when the season started.
All right. Did Kelsey make it back from Ireland for tonight? Do we know if Kelsey's back from his walkabout with Bill Murray from Ireland? Do we know, Scott? Did he make it?
I said we know people that know people. I'm pretty sure he's got people. I know people. I think he's got people. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, he wasn't on Aer Lingus. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
You're most welcome. Good morning. No, I don't think he's on Aer Lingus.
Okay, he wasn't doing that. All right, and so before I let you go, your worst beat through the first 4 weeks of the season is what? What was your worst beat, Scott Van Pelt?
If you had the Rams in If you had the Rams in Philadelphia, yep, had 26-9 and you didn't get there because a field goal was blocked and a 330-pound man ran 18 miles an hour to score, that fact won't be topped. The good news is you won't lose a more excruciating bet than that.
That's great.
That's one way to put it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So big man with football gets you through, well, it doesn't get you through. That's what you're saying. Oh, I got you. 26-9 and all went down the tubes from there.
Yeah, okay. I was one of the Rams plus 3.5 people. Rich.
You were.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
You're getting 3.5. You're ahead 26-7 on the field. Like, you're good.
Good.
And then you're not. And then, like, oh, we're either going to, they're going to win the game or they're not. I'm good. I'm safe. No, you're not safe. That's why it's like, I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas or Atlantic City or any casino boat. You're playing blackjack, and there's the person that's like, you got a 20 against the 6, and someone's like, oh, this is a good hand. You never speak until the dealer busts, right? And so anyone would dare to speak on that game until the kick either missed or what happened, that they know better. You just, nothing is said.
Nothing is said. So basically, the Philadelphia dealer hit 21 with 5 more cards after starting with 6 against your 20 is pretty much what that was.
It was 2, 2, 3, 4, 6, uh-huh, whatever that adds up to. Yeah, that's what happened. It was a 7-card 21 in your eye hole.
Scott Van Pelt, thanks for the Zoom from the streets of New York already in your Monday Night Countdown suit. And I'm sure you've lost circulation in your right arm holding your phone this entire time. I really appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
I can't feel the entire right side of my body. I'm an elderly person. I feel like it could be a medical event. We'll see. If I'm not on, it's because I died here on the streets for you, Rich.
Bless you, Scott. Bless you. Thank you very much. There's no I in Scott or Van Pelt. Ladies and gentlemen, the team player, Scott Van Pelt, leaving us from New York City.
Yeah, makes you wonder why you gamble at all. That was rough.
Why do you gamble?
That was when you questioned quitting.
I don't understand. Just giving money away.
You want to do it?
You know what I mean? Bet $5,000 to win $100. That don't make no sense.
You hammer the over on Sunday Night Football and you're laughing at like halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always one that brings you back, TJ.
Let's go to Sean in Kansas City. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sean? It's line 5, Jason Feller. You there, Sean? You there, Sean?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
Well, I was at the Kansas City game. My family, we have season tickets right behind the opponent's sideline. And when Cooper Rush came in, all my family were freaking out because we didn't see him limping off the field. We saw him come over to the sideline, throw his helmet down, and just sit down. And then we got the news that he had a hamstring injury, but we never saw medical attention go to him. He never had a massage gun on his thigh, nothing. We watched the whole fourth quarter. He didn't touch his hamstring at all. And, you know, my family, they're drunk. They're yelling. They're telling him that he's quitting on their team.
Oh, boy.
And I'm just wondering, I mean, was there any proof that he actually had a hamstring injury?
Oh, I don't think. Listen, Sean, I think your family, there he goes. What happened? Did you hang up? That was you?
No, that wasn't me. Oh. He said what he had to say, and he was out.
Peace out. Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm glad he.
Well, he said they were drinking.
He said that they were alcohol infused. So. Yeah. It's a bad loss for the Ravens. But like I said, 1-3, your next 4, Houston and the Rams at home. Then there's a bye. Then you got the Chiefs at home. I mean, the Bears at home. So they're coming home from Kansas City, and they don't have to get on a plane for another month. And that plane is to Miami on a Thursday night. So I am not panicking.
Well, bad news for the Ravens. John Harbaugh just said Nnamdi Madubuke is out for the season with a neck injury.
Yeah, that's a serious business. And without Madubuke, you could see that you could, you know, run up the gut on him. It's just that nobody does that for the Chiefs.
Right.
I'm just wondering why Pacheco doesn't get the 10-15 carries. Like, let's try. I guess
he's trying. He's only averaging a couple yards of carry.
What's happening?
They're kind of high on this Breshard Smith.
I saw, and then he came in and he dropped one, and then they gave another one to him.
He caught a few passes.
Right.
We'll see.
I got to call Stone Street for the skinny on him because, you know, that's my Chiefs insider.
He's a 7th-round running back.
And by the way, is there anybody who says every syllable of one person's name quite like Jim Nantz says Pacheco? he lays into that Pacheco. Pacheco. I mean, every syllable is just nailed by Jim Nantz when he says Isaiah Pacheco's name.
Pacheco.
844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Listen, the Steelers at 3-1, they are really good at taking the football away. I think we've seen that. We've had it established. And week one, when they couldn't take the football away more than just once, Rodgers threw for 4 touchdowns. And the fact that Rodgers, since that day, going into the Ireland game, threw only for 3 touchdowns, a lot of folks are wondering if week one was fugazi. And the Steelers won a football game yesterday that, I'll be honest with you, I was concerned about them being able to win without Jaylen Warren and the run game maybe being next to nothing. And here's Rodgers sitting back there and a defense that was marauding the week before against the Cincinnati Bengals would be having its way with a guy who really doesn't move around all that well at this age. And I was wrong. Was I ever? Now, they're still not throwing deep. They're not chunk playing. Unless DK takes one from like 10 yards and runs the next 70 through the entire secondary as he did yesterday for an 80-yard score that is through 57 international series games now. By the time that London is through, oh, 60 international games in the history of the National Football League. This was the longest play from scrimmage ever outside of the United States in the international series. They just don't do that, though.
It's almost like they need a guy like, what's his name?
George Pickens?
George Pickens.
Well, it just wasn't working out there. Whatever was going on there, you know, there's the tip of an iceberg we only see, and boy, does it appear to have been an iceberg there. And the Steelers' defense doing the rest. Along with, wait for it, did Kenneth Gainwell just take over the running back position for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'll tell you this. I know they've got a bye now, and Jaylen Warren was the guy coming into the season after being the backup to Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. But you got to wonder if they're just going to basically tell Jaylen, you don't normally lose your job due to injury here, and we'll try and split the reps in a certain way. But you got to wonder if Kenneth Gainwell is going to get another start. 19 carries, 99 rush yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, career highs in carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns and scrimmage yards for Kenneth Gainwell, the guy who, as we all know, was behind Saquon last year.
He looked so good yesterday.
He sure did.
He showed patience. His cuts were great.
He's a great game. His 134 scrimmage yards are tied for most by a Steelers player in a game over the last 2 seasons. Mm. And Rodgers only missed on 4 passes. 126 of his 200 pass yards were gained by DK Metcalf, the 80 yards of the 126 on one play. So every single time that Steelers win, you're like, yeah, but they're 3-1. And they're 2 games clear of the Ravens. The Bengals have a backup quarterback damn near all the way through to the middle of December if they're lucky. And the Browns are, well,
the Browns
talking about Shedeur Sanders' body language in Ohio right now. And the Steelers come off the bye and they get the Browns before visiting Cincinnati. And then that massive one where Green Bay now has a revenge game player against them. Sunday Night Football. And you know, I mean, Rodgers is going to be talking about that before a game against Indianapolis at home. That could be pretty damn big, by the way.
Hell yeah.
And a visit to Los Angeles against the Chargers. That's what's coming up for the Steelers. And as for the Vikings, they're just going to be up and down until we find out who's the quarterback and how we can get some sort of rhythm going.
Steelers did everything in their power to make that game closer than it should have been yesterday.
Well, I mean, the thing was over, and then Carson Wentz caught fire in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And then Tomlin made that decision, instead of going for a fourth down on the needing 1 inch, let's punt it away and give the ball back. And that almost came back to bite him.
Yeah. There was a few.
But the defense did its job. The defense did its job. And then there were not one but 2 takeaways taken away. One in which, in the fourth quarter, the interceptor bobbled it before getting his feet down. And then the one where Jordan Mason clearly fumbled it. And as Jalen Ramsey grabbed the ball and ran it back the entire distance and then faked with the hamstring injury, doing the gritty, only before him leaving the game later on with, wait for it, an actual such injury. That Jordan Mason had his feet out of bounds when he reached out just to grab it and try and gain possession of it. Little did anybody know, probably even Jordan Mason know, that the act of just grabbing it with his feet out of bounds ended the play. So the Steelers actually had two more takeaways taken away, and they still had two with six sacks. And J.J. Watt, J.J.'s brother, T.J., getting it done with his first interception in a couple of years. So we're back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, with one big finish, a flourish, if you will, when we have a poll question within the studio. Now that Mike Del Tufo has turned into an actual Dodgers fan, and Jason Feller. I don't know where Mike went.
He's over here.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's coming.
Where did you go, Mike? Where'd you go? What are you doing? You just left?
Since we're taking photos in the studio, I'm letting Felly sit in for the...
Oh, yeah, we have a photographer taking candids. Very good.
You see me over here just smiling for no reason? Okay.
I was wondering what's going on.
Wow. What is happening?
I don't know. I just thought the mold business was treating you well.
Oh, it is.
All right, we'll take... Oh, good to know. Can confirm. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. 844-204-RICH.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not...
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Brace the rudder! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. Start converting your B2B audience today. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started today at linkedin.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a sea captain. You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team. Shouldn't it be the same for your insurance? So don't settle for just any insurance when you can go with a leader. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
As you all know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness, and that's why I'm proud to tell you about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. So we wrap up this program. You know how certain great sports towns all have a favorite team that everybody's rooting for and pulling for? You love that dirty water in Boston for your Red Sox,
absolutely,
right? You know what I mean? And there are so many other cities whose town it is. And those teams start winning and the town goes crazy for them. We see it all the time. For instance, in the Mets town of New York City, the New York Metropolitans had the best record in baseball on June the 12th. And finished up in a Mets town with a record of 38-55. And all they needed was one win against the Marlins. And they get shut out. Mm-mm-mm. Now the Reds are going to the playoffs. The Reds are coming here to the great city of Los Angeles. You know, with all due respect to the Angels, a Dodgers town.
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
Right? I mean, you would know that, Mike, yeah, as a Dodger fan for 5 minutes. You even get it.
Yep, I get it.
And so the Mets are out. Instead of being here in Los Angeles, where so many Mets fans could have seen them play. But not the case. The owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen, taken to X to apologize. Apologize to the fans. You did your part by showing up and supporting the team. We didn't do our part.
Facts.
We will do a post-mortem and figure out the obvious and less obvious reasons why the team didn't perform up to your and my expectations. We're all feeling raw today. The result was unacceptable. Your emotions tell me how much you care and continues to motivate the organization to do better. Thank you to the best fans in sports. You might say that this Mets finish was tough to stomach. Oh, and there's the stomach! Right there! Belonging to the man who showed up in his Mets uniform and called it a Mets town after helping the Yankees get to the World Series and then took the Mets money and called it a Mets town, and the Mets with the second largest payroll in sports don't even make the playoffs. Man, that's a shame.
It's insane coming from a Yankee fan who had the largest payroll.
Actually,
for years.
If you made the playoffs, it would have been the second largest payroll in baseball against the most. And they're giving Ohtani the mother of all 401ks.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of K's, I wish Lindor had struck out instead of drowning into a double play to end the season, because who was on deck but Juan Soto? That would have been the ultimate chef's kiss to have him be the one to end the season. And instead, here's Juan Soto after the Mets. Wait a minute. I wrote what they did something to the bed. I'll look it up. Just roll it in the meantime.
Anyway. Where did this go wrong in your mind?
What do you mean?
Why did this not translate? Why did the talent not translate to wins?
Baseball, man. Baseball. I don't think even if you have a great team in paper, nobody's going to bring it to you. You got to go out there and get it. So I think it's part of it, and we just fell off short.
Juan, what do you think has to change next year?
I mean, we have everything we need. I say we just got to win games. I think that's the only thing we got to change. Win games.
What do you mean, he said? When I asked why it didn't work out. Mm-mm-mm. You know, he's going to the playoffs instead of Juan Soto. The team he left.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. I think we actually have an AI rendering. Somebody sent this to me. This is fantastic. You've got the old AI rendering. There's a judge behind the door and Juan forlornly looking through it.
Forlornly.
I mean, Juan Soto had a tremendous season.
It wasn't his fault. He was amazing this year.
So maybe that's why he doesn't understand what went wrong.
He did his part.
Or they weren't talking his native tongue, which is money.
You really got to stop it. Because then other things will get brought up. Everybody takes the money, you know, man. That's what we do here in this society. Everybody takes the money.
He can go yachting in October.
You know what I mean? You would take the money. Brockman would take the money. Del Tufo would take the money. Okay. I would take the money. Everyone would take the money.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
Who wants to be a Yankee in a Mets town anyway?
We knew that this team, Chris, and didn't I say this all year, I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts because I know it won't.
Tough to stomach.
All right, that's what. Tough to stomach. I can't believe you're going to make me root for Boston.
Next time it happens.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.